Good morning. Today's daf and sotah is Mem Dalim. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of daf. We are on Mem Gimel Nubeis. We are at the two dots towards the top of the Amud. Talking about exemptions. When you go to war, so the various exemptions that are given out, the Torah mentions it in Parsha Shoftim. Torah goes through three different exemptions. We learned on the Mishnah that the that he's going to go out to the he'll go out to the border and he'll hear the calling. Kohen Meshoch Mechama, he'll give a speech. We broke it down yesterday to three different sections that were that are articulated. Some of them by the Meshoch Mechama, some just simply by the Shoter, by the officers. But nevertheless, they hear their exemptions. Anyone who's covered by the exemptions. So for some of them, they turn around. They don't go home. They just. They help in the war effort, but they're not to go home. And some exemptions are so powerful, so strong that they go back home. In fact, the Mishnah seems to indicate they don't even go altogether. That's what we saw yesterday. The Mishnah, we're in the eighth parak of Sota. The Mishnah yesterday brought this all down. Lengthy Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. We went through the entire Mishnah, detailing the speech that was given by the Kohen and by the Shoter, the various exemptions, and details within the exemptions. So we're now in the Gemara in Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and we're discussing some of the details within the exemptions. So one of the exemptions, the three exemptions are having a new house, having a new vineyard, and having a new wife. If you have a man has any of those three things, so he's providing exemption not to go out into the battlefield. So we are now in the Gemara discussing the vineyard. So Tana Rabbana Asher Nata, Inli Ala Nata. So the Torah describes that you're planting a vineyard. Laka V'yarash V'nita Lo B'matan Minayin. How do I know that I purchased, I inherited, or I was gifted a vineyard? So Tam Lomer Mi'esh Asher Nata Kerem. So Mi'esh Asher Nata Kerem. Somewhat of a verbose language, coming to include even any of these other types of acquisitions. Now I know that the Torah describes a vineyard. How about other types of fruit trees? And even if there are other species, as long as you planted something which is edible. Doesn't have to be a keren per se. It can be any type of fruit tree. It has to be a pattern of five. If you look back at Rashi yesterday, Rashi actually gives an alignment, a picture of what the five would look like. So it has to be a base minimum of five trees, five fruit trees. Under those circumstances, you're providing exemption. So I might think that, what about four fruit trees? How about if it's a lot? Let's say it's five or more, but it's not fruit tree. It's just simply trees, non-fruit bearing. So Tam Lomer Kerem. No, that's why the Torah says Kerem. Kerem means a vineyard, meaning there has to be a... First of all, it has to be a tree which produces edible fruit. And number two, it's got to be kerem. It's got to be a vineyard. It's got to be something with a significant number. Right? Five becomes the significant number. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Kerem Kamash Mal. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is of the opinion that no, don't deviate from the simple pshat in the Torah. The Torah identifies it as being a vineyard. Your exemption from going to battle is only for a vineyard and for nothing else. Lo chilav velo chilalav. Prat lamavrich lamakib. Now we said, if you remember the Mishnah yesterday, said the Torah describes netia planting. So the Torah's description is taking a seed, putting it in the ground, right? The origination of a tree. Then the Mishnah said yesterday, I'm going back to the Mishnah, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Echad Noteh Kerem Ve'echad Noteh Chamish Limaicha Ve'afilu Mechamish Zaminim Echad HaNoteh Ve'echad HaMavrich Ve'echad HaMarkiv. So if you remember the Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah said it doesn't have to be planting per se. It could be also grafting. It could be also layering as well. Right? Grafting, taking a branch and attaching it to a tree and allowing the new branch, the limb, to basically become part and parcel of the tree. So that also, in other words, if you have a... If you planted a new limb, that also provides for you an exemption. And the Mishnah said layering as well, which means that I take one of the branches of the tree, I dip it down into the ground, and it roots and it starts another tree. So the Mishnah told us that also provides for you an exemption. The Braisa is about to teach us that's not going to give you an exemption. Only Netiyah. And what we're going to be dealing with for a good amount of time is how do we resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. First, let's see the Braisa inside. So the Braisa says, again, we're now on Mem Gimel Mud Beis. The Sorry, let me read it again. Karen Kamash Malo. Lo chil v'lo chil lo pral l'mavrich u'lemarkiv. So the Braisa says it, the exception to the exemption. I know that's confusing, but we're talking about who gets an exemption and we're talking about who is not included in the exemption. So the exception to the exemption. So who's not included in the exemption is Mavrich u'markiv. You have to plant, and planting and only planting provides for you the exemption. If you graft or if you layer, you are not provided the exemption. So the Gemara says, okay, that's the Braisa, but the Braisa doesn't go like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that it doesn't have to be planting. It could be grafting, it could be layering. So how do you resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa? That's the question. It's pretty straightforward. The answer is going to be not so straightforward. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Chista. So here we go with our first attempt of an answer. Now, before we start with the Gemara's answer, again, let's just take a step backwards. Let's just go over there. Two agricultural halachas that we have to keep in play at the same time. Number one, there is kalayim. What we're not allowed to do is we're not allowed to plant a vineyard and other types of produce in a field. In doing so, the yielding produce is going to be aser. Not only aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana as well. Okay, that's kalayim. The other thing that we need to take into consideration is the other agricultural halacha known as arla. Arla means that after planting the tree, for the next 3 years, any of the fruit that comes off the tree is going to be aser. Aser ba'achila, aser ba'ana, that's the aser of arla. We know the Torah gives an exemption for somebody who planted a new tree who has not yet been mechalal it. Mechalal means that it has not yet gone to year four. Because we know the halacha is that in year four, so any of the fruit that comes off the tree needs to go to the Beis HaMikdash, and just like Maaser Sheni, needs to be consumed in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like Maaser Sheni, you could also be poured onto money, and the money can be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So the same thing is true regarding Kerem Revai. Kerem Revai also can be nifta, can be redeemed, and then the money be brought to Yerushalayim. But we know that you have to be mechalo, you have to literally deconsecrate the fruit of the fourth year. The fruit of the fourth year is Kedusha. So the Torah's exemption from going to battle is only if you are not mechalel, which means that it's a new tree and it has not yet arrived at year four, and then and only then are you going to be mechalel? Then and only then do you get an exemption. So there are two halachas that we have to keep in mind. Number one is kalayim. Number two is arla. They're two separate agricultural halachas, but over here we need to juggle both of them, because what we're basically now about to explain is that sometimes grafting is okay, sometimes grafting is not okay. Now, we're talking about grafting, that obviously introduces us to the topic of kalayim, but really what our focus is on is arla, because the exemption that you get is only for chilul of netar ravai, of the fourth year fruit, which is a function of arla. It's not a function of kalayim. So that's basically what we have to do. We have to juggle those two isur. The Gemara now is explaining the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says, if you plant or if you graft, you're going to receive an exemption. The Braisa says, no, only if you plant, but not if you graft. How do I resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa? So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chista, Lo kasha kambar kavas hister, kambar kavas heter. It depends. Was the grafting permissible or was the grafting not permissible? If the grafting was permissible, so then you're fine. You didn't violate Nisr in the Torah of Kalayim. You have now grafted, and as a result of the grafting, you will now have, we're going to get into the details in just a moment of why this is so. Sorry. I'll get into the details why this is so, but once you graft, so now you're going to have a new tree, a new entity, let's just call it a new entity, and that's going to give you your exemption. But as long as you graft beheter, if you graft beisser, so then that's no good. Because now what do you have on your hand? You have an Avera. And you can't go to war with an Avera. Which we, you know, an idea which we keep coming back to again and again. When would grafting be okay? If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Harkavas Heter. So, sorry. Look at the Rashi of Markiv. Markiv, that's a Rashi. Rashi. There's no more Tosfos on the in the entire Masechta. So the we're left with Rashi. So every daf in from yesterday and onward until the end of the Masechta is just Rashi. So you look at the right column of Rashi. So Markiv Rashi, right? Shenokei v'ilam v'nota menarach sheba anfei alilam v'tochev. Now, basically, Rashi here gives us like a how-to, like a basics in terms of grafting. Okay, don't ask. I've never done it. But Rashi then goes on to write, So Rashi points out that grafting, as long as you're grafting, like trees, meaning that the limb that you're introducing, the branch that you're introducing to the new to the old tree, is of the same species. Even though the size of the fruit are going to be different, right? The older tree is producing larger fruit, the new branch is producing smaller fruit. Rashi says, "Havu miminechad zebazeh," but it's minechad; it's all the same species, and therefore there is no problem with grafting in of itself, as long as that which you're introducing is of the same species that you are attaching it to. So, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that when do you again, we're trying to resolve the discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mishnah says planting, grafting, give you an exemption. The Braisa says only planting, not grafting. So the Gemara's answer, according to Rav Chista, is Harkavah Heter versus Harkavah Sister. Okay, so Harkavah Sister, so that's easy. Meaning, you grafted and you grafted illegally. You grafted and by grafting you also created Kalayim. You don't get an exemption for that. You don't get an exemption for creating an Isser. So good. So you don't get an exemption for that. You do get an exemption, however, for grafting beheter. So hi harkavas heter hechidami. So what's exactly the example of harkavas heter? So ilay miyalda miyalda. So let's say the following: the host tree is new, and the limb that I'm introducing is also new. Okay, so the Gemara says, if that's the case, so then why are we having grafting as part of the discussion? If the host tree is a new tree, so now you have in your property a new tree that already gave you an exemption. So what new facet did we just introduce by attaching a new limb to the new tree? New tree, you already have your exemption. Ella yalada bezakena. So the Gemara says, okay, so must be the case is that I grafted a new branch onto an old tree. So the old tree is post chilul, meaning it's after year four for the old tree, for the host, and then for the new tree, for the new limb that I just attached, so for that I'm going to get an exemption. The Gemara says that's also not going to work out. If I have a new branch being grafted onto an old tree, so the Gemara's language is batal. It becomes nullified. Okay, now exactly how the mechanics work. So even though the Gemara uses the Lashon of batal, but it could be that it's a function of Zev Zegorim. All right, leaving the mechanics out aside for the time being. The point is that you are not, that new branch is not subject to the Isser of Arla. And so therefore there's not going to be Chilul. So if you attached a new limb to an old tree, so you're not going to receive an exemption because there's not going to be any Chilul. So the Ba'la Yalda Bezaken Ve'in Ba'din Arla. So there's not going to be any Arla, and if there's not going to be any Arla, so then there's not going to be any Chilul. And so once again, we're back to square one. When exactly are you going to be grafting and be receiving an exemption? And if it's a new limb to a new tree, you already had your exemption. So how is grafting in of itself ever going to create exemption? I'm Rabbi Yirmiyahu Olam Yalada Biyalada. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu is going to give an answer. This answer is going to be a little complicated, Rabbi Yirmiyahu now is going to make the following suggestion. The host tree is a new tree. The limb that I'm attaching is a new limb. So again, we didn't like this answer previously because you already have your exemption. The exemption is not created by the grafting. How can the grafting create your exemption? Ukigon did not allow kamaisa lisiag ulakoros. So Rabbi Yirmiyah now suggests, well, maybe I would not have received an exemption for the host tree, even though it's new. Why? Because when I planted the host tree, I did it just to create a perimeter around my property. The first mission in Arla teaches us that in order for a tree to be subject to the Isser of Arla and Chilul in year 4, the tree has to be planted for its fruit. It's just a fruit tree by itself does not create an immediate Isser Arla with Chilul in year number 4. It has to be that the tree was planted for its fruit. If I planted a tree to just be used as a perimeter, just as a border around my property, even if it's a fruit tree, it's not subject to the Isser of Arla. And therefore, if it's not subject to the Isser of Arla, so then there's not going to be Chilul in year 4. So this could be a scenario, suggests Rabbi Yirmiyah, where the host tree is new, but it's not going to provide an exemption, because it was planted as a perimeter around the property. And so now, the grafting that I do, a new limb on a new tree, the limb I'm putting on is for the fruit, and that's why the limb that I grafted onto the tree is in fact going to create an exemption. This is Rav Yirmiyah's answer. Noteli siag lekaros. This is the first mission of Arla. If I plant a tree as a siag, siag, right? Asu siag the Torah. You got to make a fence around the Torah. So if you make your tree as a perimeter, so the chorus, or let's say you planted the fruit tree, but only for the beams, meaning the wood, not interested in the fruit. Patam and Arla is going to be exempt from Arla. So umayshna yalada bezikena de balo, umayshna yalada biyalada de la batla. So the Gemara says now, why is it that if I attach a new limb to a old tree, what do we say regarding that new limb? Not subject to Arla. Why? Because the old tree is really the Iker. The new limb that's attached is bottled to the old tree, and therefore we say that regarding the new limb, not subject to Arla. So let's consider now what's the difference. Over here, I attached the new limb to a new tree. But the new tree is exempt, excuse me, but the new tree is exempt from Arla because I didn't plant it for the fruit, I planted it for a border of my property. So the Gemara says, but really, what's the difference? If the host tree is exempt, isn't the new limb that I attach also going to be exempt as well? Why over here do we not introduce the idea of bittul like we did in the previous case? Answers the Gemara. Hasam. Imim lachala la bas mehadehi. Hachi imim lachala bas mehadehi. Da'ami kara leperi kaima. Gemara says because there's really a fundamental difference. When I have an old tree, meaning a tree that's over 4 years of age, so at that point in time, this tree forever will not be subject to Arla. Meaning it's over, it's done. The first 3 years came and went. The first 3 years we were no Hagar, the Yisr of Arla. The fourth year came, we did Chilul. We brought the fruit to Yerushalayim, or at least we redeemed the peros of the fourth year. And now after that, we're done. It's never gonna resume to the status of being Arla. So when I introduce a limb to that tree, so that limb becomes batel because the tree in of itself never can obtain the status of Arla. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about a new tree that has an exemption because I planted it as a perimeter. But that new tree that I planted is not necessarily removed from the Isser Arla. It's only going to be removed from the Isser of Arla as long as I have it in mind that it's going to be used as a perimeter. Let's say at any point in time I make a decision. You know what? I no longer need that as my border. Let's say, you build another fence right in front of the tree. Or let's say you extend your property. Whatever the case is, if that new tree that I planted is no longer serving as a siag, so then what is it? It's now a regular fruit tree that will have the Isser of Arla. I only say bittul by an old tree because the old tree is done and finished, and it never will be resurrected to the Isser of Arla. The new tree, however, that has a current exemption, that exemption may not continue. That's why when I attach a new limb to this new tree, that new limb does not become bittul. Gemara says that is the difference between attaching a limb to an old tree versus an attaching a limb to a new tree. And the Gemara says, "Mi did havei alu me'alehen." And the Gemara says, "And oh, by the way, you know it's really no different than trees growing on their own." The second Mishnah in Arla, "Dinan alu me'alehem chayavim arla," that if they grow on their own, so they're chayav in arla. Meaning, it's possible where we have a tree that grew on its own, totally organic. No one planted it. So if no one planted it, So it's not subject to Arla. But if somebody comes over and decides, what a great opportunity, here's a tree that no one planted, I guess it's on no one's property, but and you come across the tree and you want now to make use of the fruit, at that point in time now, it's chayav an arla. So you see that even though the tree was not originally chayav an arla, but it can be, as long as it's within the first 3 years, be subject to the rules of arla. Here also, if I planted a tree as a siyag and then later make a decision that, you know what, I don't need the siyag anymore, but I'd love the fruit of the tree, and it's within the first 3 years, then it's going to be subject to arla. Okay, so this is the Gemara's answer now. So again, that I know it's a little bit complicated, but basically now we have a suggestion, Rabbi Yirmiyah's suggestion, in terms of how can we resolve the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says that grafting will create an exemption. You don't have to go to war. The Braisa says grafting does not create an exemption. So when how do we resolve the two? Answer, when I graft Beheter, so then I get my exemption from going to war. How do you graft Beheter? That's the tricky part. It's not perfectly clear how you can graft Beheter. Meaning, avoiding Kalayim is easy, because the limb that you're grafting on is of the same type. The tricky part is grafting the limb and receiving an exemption for the limb and not for the tree. How can that be? So Rav Yirmiyah's suggestion, based on the first mission Arla, is that the tree in question is a new tree, but it currently has an exemption from Arla. It's pater from the Isser of Arla because it's planted as a siyag, and the limb that I attach does not become batel to the tree. Okay, that is one suggestion. The Gemara says, did you notice? You have to really be knowledgeable about all the halachas of Arla and Klein. But did you notice, the Gemara says, so v'lukman bekev shel shnei shutvim, dahay adar didei v'hay adar didei. You know, another answer which the Gemara didn't give is that maybe the tree is owned in a partnership between two people, where, let's say, one person owns a host and another person owns a limb. Can't you make the suggestion, it would have been somewhat simpler, at least, if the suggestion would have been that what's the case where someone is going to be receiving an exemption from going to war by attaching a limb to a tree, where the tree belongs to somebody else and the limb belongs to him? Why didn't we give that answer? And why did we go with the much more complicated answer of Rav Yirmiyah? So I'm Rav Papa, Zos Ameris, Kem Shosh Shnei Shutfim, and Chosin Alav Me'orchei Amnachama. So the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why, one tree cannot produce two exemptions. Now the Gemara says it as it's not beferish, it's not explicitly stated. The Gemara doesn't give a source for this, but it just, in other words, it's just untenable. And the Gemara assumes this to be so because we didn't give this answer. And by virtue of the fact that you saw that the Amoraim didn't give this answer, it must be that it's just simply not tenable. You can't have one tree producing multiple exemptions. The Gemara says, well, that's interesting because we know that one woman can provide multiple exemptions. So let's say you had five brothers, one of them dies in battle, and now you have a woman who is a Shomeris Yavam, and she has now four candidates for doing the mitzvah of Yibum. So of the four brothers, who's going to get to go home and do the mitzvah of Yibum? I would have said that. You suggested that. Just one second. Who's going to be able to go back? All four of them can go back. So one woman is providing four exemptions. Now, Danny, you're right. Only one of them is actually going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. But at least all four of them has the possibility, is a candidacy for, they all have a Zika, candidacy of doing the mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore they're all going to go back. So one vineyard can't produce two exemptions, but meanwhile, one woman can present, in this particular case, four exemptions. So Gemara says, what's the difference? I'm sorry, the Kulan Choser, they all go back. Just give me one second. Hasam kochad v'chad karina bei ishto. Hacha kochad v'chad lo karina bei karmo. So the Gemara says, because the exemption that's provided by a woman is because she is ishto. Each one of them, because they have a zika, because they are bonded to this woman, obviously only one of them is going to actualize the Zika. But because each one of them has a Zika to her, so it is fair to describe for each one of the brother-in-laws as a Ishto in this exemption. and therefore all four of them get to go back. On the other hand, when it comes to the exemption of Kerem, the Torah says Karmo. It has to be in your possessive. It has to be your vineyard. So you cannot have a vineyard owned in partnership by two people and that vineyard providing multiple exemptions. Because it has to be Karmo, there has to be a sole proprietor to the vineyard in order for that vineyard to create an exemption.
So if one of them marries and the other three go back to war?
Yeah, that would make this.
Oh, okay. I don't. Right.
Are they indefinitely, or if the wife keeps going?
Good. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't. Okay. Right. The. I would think. Yeah. So as a consideration. I thought about that. There are other terms in the parsha that describe possessive. Right. So I agree, Rabbi Katz, with you. It doesn't say the word karmo, but there are possessive terms in the parsha. Okay, it's not a lot, I admit, but at least there are other possessive terms.
In terms of planting, is it from the past or somebody? I know.
Many a story is told to me about people. people after wars declared going to. They went for the rabbinate. They went for priesthood. Meaning, I understand. There's running. All of a sudden, everyone has like a religious awakening. I want to be a priest. I want to be a rabbi. Anyway, I don't know. I know. Right. I know. Okay. So where do we stand right now? So one vineyard cannot provide multiple exemptions, but there's one woman who can provide multiple exemptions. Notable exclusion from this Gemara, by the way, is a house. The Gemara does not discuss can one house provide multiple exemptions, meaning right undiscussed by the Gemara.
Partnership and owning a house.
Can that, generally speaking, that's I understand husband and wife, but generally speaking, on a house that is property is owned by a house is owned by a partnership. So can that create multiple exemptions? So not discussed in the Gemara, is discussed in the Rishonim and the Achronim. Just it's fair to point out.
Okay.
I don't know. Just the Gemara doesn't discuss it. That's all I'm highlighting. Okay, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar. Okay, we are back to the Gemara. So again, what is taking all of our attention right now is the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah says that grafting can create an exemption. The Braisa says that grafting cannot create an exemption. And what's the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa? So far we have the basic difference of the Gemara of grafting Bisa versus grafting Bater. The Gemara now is going to give another answer. Rav Nachman is the Gemara b'Mavir Chilam b'Yerek. We are discussing a scenario in which I grafted a tree onto a yerek, onto a vegetable. Now that's not net. Right now we're back to kalayim, meaning we were discussing grafting earlier, and kalayim didn't bother us because, as Rashi pointed out, we were grafting like limb on a like tree. But now we're grafting a vineyard onto a. We're grafting a tree onto a yerek, onto some sort of vegetable. So it's a machlokas tanaim whether or not this would represent an issur of kalayim or this would not represent an issur of kalayim. So the Gemara says, and that could be a resolution between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Gemara now is going to give a third answer to the question out of how to resolve the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rav Dimi comes in for a marriage to Yisrael. He quotes Rav Yochanan, meaning Rav Yochanan knew about the steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and he offers the following suggestion. Hamani Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakovi. So it is authored by Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. Lo Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Hasim Kerem Kemashmao Hachinami not to Kemashmao. A very simple and quite frankly easy resolution in that we know that according to Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, the exemption for planting is only for a vineyard. Why? Because the Torah says vineyard. And Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says, and we don't extend that to any other type of fruit tree. even though you could, even though the halach is we do. But Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says we don't. He just limits it to that which the Torah mentions. Well, Rav Yochanan says, according to Rav Lazar ben Yaakov, then you can continue the argument and say, well, if it's limited only to Kerem, then it's also only going to be limited to Netiyah. The Torah describes planting. Even though grafting is a way of introducing a new fruit into this world, but it's not planting. And so therefore, the exemption is only for the act of planting. Okay. Note in Mavrich u'Markiv lo. Okay, that's another answer by Rav Yochanan. Another answer of the Gemara. Ki asa Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Yalda b'chusa mitefach, chayeves bar olam. And now from this point going forward, so now the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent. Meaning as long as we brought up some of the halachas regarding Arla, Klai HaKerem, so the Gemara now is going to take us on a small little detour, addressing other halachas. Let's say that you have a new tree, p'chusa mitefach, chayeves b'arla koshno seha. Interesting halacha. You have a tree that never matures, meaning it always looks like a brand new tree. It looks like a sapling, and it looks like a sapling indefinitely. Well, if it looks like a sapling indefinitely, it's going to be subject to arla indefinitely. Okay, the mechazia kebashasa, and really the way the Gemara phrases it, because it looks like it's a Marzain issue, because since this tree looks perpetually underdeveloped, so therefore the casual observer is going to say to himself, "That's interesting. That's a sapling." And you see what he's doing? He's taking the fruit off the sapling. Oh, wait a second. He can't do that. That's Arla. So, because the tree never fully develops, so therefore, Midrabanan, they gave it an Arla status indefinitely. But the Gemara says, but let's say you have an entire orchard of the underdeveloped tree, so then Kala Islay, it has literally a voice, meaning people know that that's the underdeveloped orchard, meaning, and everyone knows that it's well past the 3 years, it's after the fourth year, and so therefore there's no longer an Issa Durabanan. Kiasar of Dimi Amar of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar Ben Yaakov, Meis Tofes Arba Amos L'Kriya Shema. Again, we're going off topic, but the connecting tissue between all these statements are the same Baal Memra. So a mace, if you have the corpse, so it is Tofes, literally grabs for Amos L'Kriya Shema, meaning that you cannot say Kriya Shema within a perimeter around the mace of four Amos. The Gemara quotes this a number of times in our chest, and that is that you can't mock the dead. Dead person does not have the opportunity to do mitzvahs. We have the opportunity of doing mitzvahs. You do mitzvahs in front of the dead. Loeg l'rush, that's a means of mocking and deriding, and you don't want to make them feel bad. So within a perimeter of four amos, you can't say Kriya Shema. Just another interesting machlokas, by the way. What if you do say Kriya Shema within four amos of a mace? So the Rambam Shita is that you are not yotzei Yishma, and you have to say it again. And much discussion about the Rambam. But anyway, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Chorgasa, Hagdela ben Achim, Asur li Nasi l'Achim. Let's say you have a stepsister growing up among stepbrothers. So the Gemara says that she should not marry her stepbrother. Why? To mechazi ki achtayu. Because, again, Marsain, it looks like they're siblings, and so the casual observer will not know that they're not biologically related, and Marsain Velohi. But the Gemara says, but this is not the accepted halacha. But Kala Islay Lamilsa. The Gemara says this, everybody, people, there's a call. People have general knowledge of who are biological siblings, who are step siblings, so the Gemara says that this is not the halacha. Halacha is that step siblings are allowed to marry.
Halacha
for the Naki,
right? He's a
Naki. Kavanaki. Yeah. Yep. I'm Rav Yitzchak. It's a good point. I'm Rav Yitzchak. I'm Rav Yochanan. Mishum Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Lekes shechol peusha asan begoren hokva lamaiser. If you take lekes shechol, now lekes shechol peya are portions of the field that go to the poor. They are exempt from trumos amaisers. However, if you take them and aggregate them into an area in your granary, now they no longer look like lekes shechol peya. And once again, from a standpoint of Marasayan, so therefore you have to now take off Trumas and Maestros. Even though it's not obligated Trumas and Maestros, you have to take off Trumas and Maestros. just as a simple curiosity, by you doing so, then you're obviously taking away from the aniyim. So I'm guessing. I don't know this to be so, but I'm guessing that you have to take off shumas and maizos from your own produce.
Does it also mean master aniyim on the year four?
Presumably, okay, I guess. But anyway, that's the. but again, it's an issue of Marsain. Amar ula lo amar nela basada aval beir kala islay lemilsa. But again, the Gemara makes a distinction that's only out in the field, but in the city, people know that tzlekes shechem peya, even though you aggregated it, and therefore it is not. There's no issue of Marsain, and therefore you don't have to take off shumas and maizos. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, yalda b'chusa mitefachinu mekadeshes es ezrayim. If I have, again, a young, underdeveloped tree, smaller than a tefach, it's not mikadesh ezrayim. Mikadesh is a term for the use for kalayim, following the pasuk in the Torah. So it's not going to create an isser kalayim. Rashi notes over here that the isser of kalayim is only achieved when it is a vineyard that is grafted, or not grafted, but planted together with canvas v'luf, various other species. This is an issa d'rabbanan, but because the tree over here is underdeveloped, so it's not even an issa d'rabbanan. V'hani mili shem k'negesh shem v'achas yotze zanav. Avakul le'kerem makdish. But that's only true if it's just a small amount of a vineyard, meaning it is five trees configured in the way that we described back on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. But if it is an entire vineyard made up of these underdeveloped vineyard, so then it will result in an Isner Kalayim. V'amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Mace tofes arba amos l'tuma. A mace, once again, a perimeter of four amos is made around the mace, where it will be subject to tumah. Obviously, tumah d'rabbanan. The tumah d'oraisa only is resulted by being on top of the mace, creating an ohel over the mace. However, the chachamim wanted to create a siyag, almost literally a fence, but basically creating a perimeter around the mace, where if someone were to go within four amos of the mace, so then you can. You will become tamei midrabbanan, right? Kohanim should know this. Kohanim, in general, careful. But let's say you have a corpse out, you know, with no awning, no roof over the top. But still, a kohen cannot go within four amos of a corpse. So the meis tofes arba amos l'tumah. V'tana tuna, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah that supports this as well. Chatzar kever omei besocha tohar v'hu shiei bo arba amos divrei beis shammai. If you have chatzar kever, so the Rashi's over here are extensive, but basically, it's a Mishnah in Olos. Basically, what we're describing over here is some sort of cavern in which the dead are buried. So you are not going over on top of the mace, you're just simply walking into the cavern. So chatzar kever ha'omei besocha tahor v'ushiyeh ba'ar ba'amas divrei Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, as long as there is space between you and the and where the bodies are buried of greater than four amas. Beis Hillel omrim arba tfachim, and Beis Hillel says no, don't need four amas, you need just four tfachim. We're not talking about a dead just lying out in the field. We're talking about where it's buried, and you're talking about going into the courtyard, the courtyard of the burial ground. So the Gemara says that there is a debate between Meshama and Mesillo, but that's only if the descent into the courtyard is straight down. If, however, there are steps leading down into this courtyard, so then everyone's in agreement that it's four amas. Basically, just to give a quick summary of Rashi, basically what we're suggesting now is as follows. To get into this courtyard, you know, back then they buried in caverns. To get into this courtyard, either you have to scale down the wall, or there are actual steps that are created. What the Gemara is suggesting right now is that if steps are created, then basically you have a secure way of getting into the courtyard, so then we're all in agreement there has to be four amos between where you are and where the body's buried. But if you're scaling down the wall, So then we have a machlok shim Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand this at all. In fact, it would seem to be just the opposite. Kapalaya adarabba. Gemara says the opposite seems to be more more reasonable. Minatzad midrid v'nafik melamala e afshad lamaahel. If we're talking about where steps are created, and so therefore you have a secure way of getting into the courtyard of the burial spot. So basically, you know where you're walking. You're not gonna fall. You're not gonna move out of place. And so therefore, there I think it's more reasonable to suggest that even if you're within four tefachim of the body, that would be fine. If you're scaling down the wall where you don't really have now a secure way of getting into the courtyard, it's very possible that you're not going to be able to negotiate that easily to get into the courtyard. And there, I would think, if anything, you need four amos of distance. So Ella Bemedra Mamor, the Gemara says the question is so strong. Basically, we're gonna go in the other direction. You're right. Bemedra Mamor is a biskam and a tzad. Ava biskam alavala arba amos. Okay, so the Gemara says that's, you're right. If we have steps going into this courtyard, so your path into the courtyard is so secure that even if there's only four tefachim separating you and the mace, you will be fine. If it's scaling down the wall, so then you need four amas separation between you and the mace. The Gemara now points out, after learning all this, we brought all this down just to make one singular point, and that is Hani Milichatzar Kever De Misaima Mechitzasa. There we're talking about where the bodies are buried. So there you have walls keeping the bodies in position. Ava Mace Ba'ama Tafis. But if you have a corpse lying out in the field, so there you need a distance of four amos between you and the mace. So the Mishnah speaks to this idea that was taught over to us by Rabbi Yitzchak in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. Right.
So I saw
a little bit about that, but the Gemara. Let's just leave it for now that the Gemara does not discuss it. Okay, good observation. Mia Isha Sher Aras Isha. We're in Memdalam and Aleph. We are now at the two dots, Tanu Rabbanan, another Braisa. And now we move on to the discussion of marriage and the exemption created by marriage. The Gemara says, Gemara quotes a Braisa, Asher Aras, Echad Amaris, that's a Pesul of Echad Amaris, and Salman of Echad, Shemaris Yavam, Ve'afilu, Chamisha Achin, Umeitzecha Me'em, Mechama Kulan Chosrin. Okay, so the exemption is created. Whether you married a Besula, an Amana, a Shomer Yavam, and even five brothers, and one of them dies, so the four then go back. I know we just discussed that earlier, but here's the Braisa. When the Lo Lakach V'Lo Lakach Prat La'aman L'Kohen Gadol Grusha V'Chalutza L'Kohen Hejot Mamzer S'Nesin L'Yisrael Bas Yisrael L'Mamzer L'Nesin. So the Gemara says is that when you don't get an exemption is if you marry somebody who you're not allowed to marry. Kohanim are not allowed to marry a Grusha, right? Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Mamzer, Mamzeres, and doesn't matter which on the Mamzer, whether he or she, in other words, under those circumstances, you do not get the exemption. Now, Lema Dolak Rabbi Yosef Glili, Rabbi Yosef Glili, Hamar Hayareva Rech Levavav, Zuamas Yare Me'aver Shabiyadom. So the Gemara says, wait a second, why are we discussing over here a specific exemption of, well, that's not a marriage that qualifies for the exemption because it's not a sanctioned marriage? The Gemara says, you know, in order for the Kohen to marry the Grusha, he has to violate Nisr. Done. Without a specific exemption of the marriage itself, you're now a balavera. You're married to someone you're not to be married to. And as we'll see later this morning, Rav Yosef Glili is of the opinion that once you're a balavera, you turn around, you go back. You have your exemption. So why does it sound like right now that we have a specific exemption as it relates to marriage? So the Gemara says, no. We could even be holding like Rav Yosef Glili. And as a technical point, when a Kohen marries a Grusha, the Erusin is not where he becomes a Baal Avera. It's an interesting point. When does he become a Baal Avera? Only at the point of Bia. right? Stage two of marriage, but not at the eretz. And matam, and why should that be? Because lo yikach mishum lo yichalal. Because the Torah's iser of a kohen marrying a grusha is because it creates chilul. And like we said time and again throughout Yevamos, when is the chilul created? At the bia, not at the eretzin. So for the kohen marrying the grusha, that only comes about at the point of bia. So the kohen is ma'aris a grusha. So he is. It's so interesting. It's like there's an avera in wait, but he's not considered yet a bal avera, and therefore that in of itself is not going to create the exemption. What is going to create the exemption is that it's a specific rule within the marriage. This is not a sanctioned marriage, but for being a bal avera in of itself, that itself is not creating the exemption.
What if he's from Yehuda? Yes.
But again, the what if right now is let's just deal with the cases at hand. Mishum hachin aloka achi yibo. Okay, so that the Gemara says that we can even be entertaining the opinion of Rav Yosef. Okay, you notice the order that the Torah gives. The first, the Torah talks about exemption for the house, then for the vineyard, and then for the wife. And the Gemara says, and what can we learn from all this? A little bit of Derech Eretz. Linda Torah Derech Eretz. Shibana Adam Bayis. First thing you do is you build a house. V'ita Karen. Then next thing you're going to do is you're going to plant a vineyard. V'achar kach Yisaisha. And then afterwards you marry a woman. And this idea is already expressed in Mishlei. So the Gemara now takes the pasuk in Mishlei and breaks it up. So first thing that Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei is build your house. And then afterwards you're going to build your house, which I know that was done already, which is why the Gemara now darshins beisach over here zu isha. That's a reference to your wife. So by darshin the pasuk in Mishlei, it's not that glot, but by darshin the pasuk in Mishlei, we also arrive at this conclusion: build a house, plant a vineyard, and then get married. Another way to understand the pasuk in Mishlei is that the malachtecha is a reference to chumash, first master chumash, ve'ata basad alcha zemishna, and then master mishnah. And acher vaniza beisach zu gemara. It's funny. I know. It's an excellent opportunity over here for editorial, but like on everything, we threw everything in reverse. Enough for the social commentary. What?
Master Mishnah without the Gemara.
Yeah. In other words, Master Mishnah means you got to know the Mishnah. Yes. Yeah, in other words, it's a Mishnah in Perkei Avos. So okay. Anyway, okay. Social commentary done. I'm guilty of both. So, davar acher hachem b'chutz malachtecha zemikra mishnah. So again, we're going to now do the pasuk in Mishlei a third time. So malachtecha is a reference to mikra and mishnah. Atab esad alacha zegemara, and then the second stage is now learning gemara. And acher ubanisa beisach, and afterwards you'll build your house. Elu masim tovim, and that's a reference to masim tovim. Okay. They say Derech Eretz comes to write Kadma Torah. Okay, not the way we're darshing the Mishlei right now. Rabbi Elazar ben Osher, Rav Yosi Aglila, Omer Achim b'chutz malachtecha zemikra mishnah u'gemara. A fourth way now to darshing the pasuk in Mishlei. So stage one is Chumash, Mishnah, and Gemara. Va'ata basad alach elam asim tovim. Then work on your ma'asim tovim. And achar banisa meisecha drosh ukabaschar. And then build the house, which means that after mastering and after perfecting your actions, then what you can do is you can then you can go teach, and only then. Ve'elo she'enim chozim abonu be'shar. Tana, we'll learn to the brayza. Osif bo dimus echad chozer. If you make any kind of improvement on your house, so then you're allowed to go back. Meaning, as we learned in the Mishnah, if you just tear down the house and build it again, but you made no addition, so then you don't go back. But dimus acher, just one more row of bricks, and that's enough that allows you the exemption. Two times every 7 years in Sharon, they have to redo the houses. We described yesterday, the land was so poor in Sharon that the house couldn't last there for 7 years. Why did people build there? Okay, that's another question. How do I know that if you marry not a new wife but an aman, a grusha, so how do I know that you're also providing exemption? Tamulam isha, mikol makon. Im kei matamulam isha chadasha, mishachadsha lo. And what the word chadasha means in the Torah is to you, it's new. Yatzamachzer grusha sashen chadasha lo. However, divorce a woman, you say you want to try a second time, and you take her back. That's great. It's a mitzvah. But you don't get an exemption. When you have a new wife or any of the other two exemptions, so you don't go out to battle. But let's say you didn't inaugurate your house, mechal of the field, or was with your wife, but in other words, you only went to stage one of each of these processes, meaning you bought the house, you planted the field, and you were ma'aris, a woman. So tamalamar alav alavu iatamavir ava atamavir alacherim. So here, you don't get a full exemption. You get a partial exemption. Like we described back in the Mishnah, you got to go out to the battle, you got to hear the kohen, you don't get to go back home, you don't have to go out to the battlefield, but basically you are going to be helpful in the war effort. Now, we already have one Isser in the Torah of Lo Yavor. Why does the Torah repeat Lo Yetze B'Tzava? Right? The Torah seems to be repetitive. So, Lamali, Lavor, Allah, Vishnei, Lavin. And the Gemara's answer is, correct. Right, two lavin, meaning you're right. The second lav, that for the person who actually is falls under one of these three categories, so he really, right, the Rambam says every time we have repeated lavin, meaning emphasis, he really should not go out to war, because he really falls under any one of these three exemptions. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up from the new Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud.